The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this January 2nd, 2022. And tonight, the title of the message is Irrefutable, Immutable, and, well, actually, I got started off wrong. It's Immutable, Irrefutable, and Undisputable God. Our immutable, our irrefutable, and undisputable God. Now, it's an amazing thing, this Bible right here in front of me. I think very few, probably a very small percentage of people in this world actually understand the significance and the awesome content of God's Word, this Bible right here, King James Bible. They really don't understand. It's the greatest source of information in existence. It is the only absolute authoritative source. I mean, and when I say absolutely, and I mean absolutely authoritative source of information describing the existence of the entire universe, where everything come from, how it came about, where we are now, and where we'll all end. It's the only absolute source. And guess what, folks? There is nothing out there that even comes close to God's Word, the Bible, when it comes to an explanation of all of reality. And so we're going to start tonight here. Often you hear people say, well, as they will say, we don't believe in God. I don't believe that there is a God. And especially nowadays, you're seeing more and more of the younger people. And it seems to be, at least pollsters often almost seem to delight in taking these polls and finding out fewer and fewer people are going to church and fewer people believe in God, and the vast majority of those in the pulpit really don't believe the Word of God. And it's almost like they delight when they bring these polls out. Folks, that absolutely is total insanity. And so here, we're going to pick it up tonight in Psalm chapter 14. Now, here you're going to see that King David is referring to the children of men. This is one of the passages that's really misunderstood by a lot of people. When they read this, they miss a part. It means exactly what it says. Now, King David is referring to the children of men, meaning those that said there is no God. Okay, they are rebellious people who hate the very thought of having to be accountable to the Creator. They hate absolutes, leaving them no escape from God's fiery judgment. They have deceived themselves with the notion that, if they just refuse to acknowledge the existence of God, then God can't exist. And here, there's a couple of things that I want to comment on here. Over the years, I've had people call in on the radio program, mostly women. I can't remember a man calling in talking about absolutes, but I've had a number of women called in. And one in particular used to say that it really angers her because I'm so sure of myself. It makes me so angry to you. You're so sure of yourself. You're so absolutely sure of yourself. And with you, it's got to be black and white. There's no gray area. Well, I can be absolutely sure of myself when I'm reading God's Word, the Bible, folks. God doesn't make mistakes. That's why he's God. And so God will always do what he says, when he says, exactly where he says. He's got a perfect record. And so here, what happens is these folks, they don't like absolutes because it doesn't give them wiggle room. It doesn't give them any room to kind of sneak out, a sliver out, and get away from God's judgment. And then here, I've heard, I had this professor tell me one time he and I were debating evolution versus creation, and he made the statement that, it got down to the point where I said, look, you can't prove evolution to me in a million years, but I can prove creation in 5 minutes. And he asked me how I could do that. I said, very simple. It says right here, here's what God says, and here's what God did. God created the heavens and the earth. I said, right there, I can point them out. You see up there where airplanes fly? I've been up there. It's there. That's the heavens. That's heaven number one. God created the earth. That's what you're standing on right now. God created the critters. You can see them all around. And God created you and me. Here I am. You can hear me. You can see me. And his response to that was that, theoretically, if no one acknowledged my existence, then I wouldn't exist. That's what he said. He said, theoretically, if no one acknowledged your existence, then theoretically you don't exist. So I would be a bit tired arguing with this fellow, so I had to be acknowledged. So I got him in a headlock, and I Dutch rubbed him, top of his head. And he was complaining that he didn't have enough hair up there to begin with, and now he had less. But I told him, and he asked me, why did you do that? And I says, to be acknowledged. You acknowledged me. And he didn't have any more to say about that. Okay. And so here, they actually believe if they refuse to acknowledge the existence of God, then God can't exist. Well, that's interesting, right? What if I refuse to acknowledge that I'm growing older? And then I simply cease to grow older if I refuse to acknowledge that I'm growing older, right? I mean, this is like the mindset you have with these people out there today that these boys that refuse to acknowledge the fact that they're males. They decided all of a sudden in their mind that they're female, so therefore they can be a female. The problem of it is that's absolute absurdity. It's total foolishness. You see, it doesn't matter what man acknowledges. What matters is what God acknowledges. You see, folks? And so here, when these people say such silly things, when all of creation, all around them, everywhere, you know, you stand outside and you just say, look around you, all of creation is shouting, the existence of God, the Creator. There has never been, there is not now, and there never will be a creation without a Creator. It can't happen. It never has been and never can be. You've got to have a Creator to have a creation. And obviously, if we are a creation, then we have a Creator. Now, I would like to ask these people who say there is no God, where do you think you came from? Why do you think you look the way you do? You were made in somebody's image. Now, I know the answer to that because right here in this Bible, which is the most, absolutely most reliable source of information that exists, God gave us this, the extreme intelligence, and he did it in a way that most of us can understand. And so I want to go over now to Malachi. Wait a minute, I haven't even read this. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if they were any that did understand and seek God. Well, you see, God is the father of all natural people, and God is the father of those that are spiritual, those that are saved. Now, even though God is the father of all natural people, Satan is the father of the unsaved. And it doesn't really matter whether or not they acknowledge that. This is what God's word says over in John chapter 8, very clearly, without any stuttering. Now, he says, they are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, again, he's referring to those that are unsaved. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and they call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. You have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back captivity of the people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Today, they're eating up the people with porn in the public school system. I see out there in Virginia, the people are fighting. They fought a battle. They got some of the porn taken out of some of the schools, some of the textbooks, but then they turn right around and put it back in. And here, they're destroying children with porn. They're destroying the children with soiled face diapers. And they're killing people with a bioweapon and the deep state tyranny. Next Sunday evening, Lord's willing, we're going to be showing in the church at right around 4:30. We're going to be showing a film. And this film is about January 6th, when the deep state pulled a false flag operation on the patriots, on the true American patriots, on the real American patriots, where the Communist Party, the Democratic Communist Party, a lot of dirty cops, and you'll see that in this film that we're going to be showing at the church, the absolute corruptness brought against the American patriots, the American Christian patriots. And folks, you'll be seeing this at Doors of the Word next Sunday at 4:30 p.m. And boy, well, you will see again how this whole thing was set up. You're going to wonder and ask why you had approximately 2 million people there. And guess what? Where's the media? Why wasn't anyone there from NBC, ABC, or even Fox? Why weren't they covering this? You're going to look into a lot of this and see just how corrupt, how very corrupt, how absolutely, completely corrupt that Democratic Communist Party is. And also how totally intimidated these worthless courts, that we had, who were supposed to do their job, stand up and hear the cases when cases were brought. You'll hear from former Supreme Court justices on just how how pitiful and pathetic and shameful the courts, the judicial system was, how this was all set up, just like those that stole the election. It was just filled with liars, with dirty cops, dirty judges, dirty politicians, from top to bottom. And so here we see, when he says this, there were they in great fear, for God is the generation of righteousness. So we have to stay in the generation of righteousness. And you do that only one way, and that's through obedience to Almighty God. Now I want to go over to Malachi. And in Malachi chapter 3, starting with verse 6. Now here, God, not being like man, is very long-suffering, and he is right to the point. He is telling them that he's going to give them a chance to repent and to return to obedience, or else he's going to destroy them. It's repent or perish. And so, and they say that, well, God hasn't done anything for them. That he has left them, he's abandoned them. And God is telling them that if they repent, he will again bless them. And so here we start out in verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That means destroyed, because God kept his word. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances, and you have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? In other words, they're saying, well, we never left you. It's not smart to argue with God. Not smart at all. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You see here, Malachi urged the people to stop holding back their tithes, to stop keeping them from God, because God deserved them. They belonged to him, okay? The tithing system began during the time of Moses, and we find that over in Leviticus and also in Deuteronomy. Now, the Levites received some of the tithes because they could not possess land of their own. But during Malachi's day, the people were not giving tithes to the Levites. And the Levites had to go to work to earn a living, thereby neglecting their God-given responsibility to care for the temple and to worship. And so here he is telling them, well, let's pick it up. He is saying to them, bring you the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Now hearing, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out blessings, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and you shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? And you have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now you call the proud happy? Yeah. They that work wickedness are set up, yea, and they that tempt God are even delivered. So what they're saying here is, look, you know, God, what have you done for me lately? Look, Lord, we're woke here. We're woke here. We're hip. We know. We're watching what's going on. We hear you talking about all this self-blessed or the poor and the meek. We hear that. But we're seeing how you're blessing the wicked. The wicked are becoming wealthier. They have all these material things. And that's what we want. We want to be like the wicked. So we get it now. We're hip. We see, Lord, that you're saying one thing, but you're doing another. Not a smart thing to say to God. Not a smart thing at all to say to God. And so here, God deals with them. Well, I want to go and pick it up in the next couple of verses. Then they feared the Lord and spoke open to one another, often to one another. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son, and serveth him. Then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Like these guys that were saying, you're saying one thing, God. It's not good. You never argue with God, and the last thing you do is you don't call he that who cannot lie a liar. Now, the Prosperity Church, in the name of God, the Prosperity Church, they fleece the flock. That is a big mistake, folks. And I think some of them have gotten away from the point where they really enjoy fleecing the flock. And they don't know that it hasn't occurred to them that there's going to be a comeuppance. The time will come when they're going to answer for that. The apostate church, they flaunt their sin in front of God, in front of a holy God. What does a holy God have to do with sin? He's got to punish sin. Now, the people that were telling God that they were hip to his ways, and that, and then they were saying, well, you've got us all wrong. You don't tell God he's got you all wrong. Not a smart thing to do. And so, in fact, if you go back to chapter 2, here we read how God will, he warns. And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will hear, and if you will not lay it to the heart, and give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have set this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. What was he talking about? Well, when they came to offer, they brought the sacrifices for the priest to offer up. The animals were kept outside the gates. They were kept outside the gates. And, you know, what animals do out there, and so what happened was these priests, he's telling them that, Because of what they did, they're going to die, and they're going to be buried out there in the dung on the outside of the gates with dung in their faces. And so that's not a good thing by any means. Now, here, I stumbled across this TV program, and apparently it's been around for a while. I don't watch much TV at all. Very little do I watch. Mostly what I do is I monitor my opposition in the news. Those talking heads you see, I monitor the lies that they're telling for the most part. And so to expose their wickedness. So I don't really watch very much TV every now and then. If I can catch a ball game, I'd like to do that. But and now and then, if there's an old movie that I haven't seen, or if it's an old classic, I do. But other than that, I don't watch much TV. So I didn't know anything about these programs they had on. But I stumbled across this TV program called Paternity Court. Now, when I heard that, I says, I want to look this up and see what this is all about. Because I wondered if this was going to be another Hollywood politically correct or woke production. But folks, to my amazement, there was a black female judge who actually expressed views of morality and behaved with a ladylike manner. And I thought, how is she getting away with this? How is Hollywood allowing somebody to do something good? Here's a judge who apparently has morality. And the reason I'm saying that is on the very first case that I saw, there was this soldier that had come home from Afghanistan. And while he was in Afghanistan, in combat, his wife back home decided that she wanted to be a stripper. And, of course, she didn't use that. She used the term exotic dancer, which is a stripper. And on top of that, she was selling herself into prostitution. When this man came home, she was pregnant, trying to convince him that it was his baby. And the guy was a little upset about all that. And so he was in paternity court because he knew that it wasn't his baby. And he had had a child with her before they were married. And now he was wondering if the little girl was his too, because he had found out that from a number of men that this wife had been going whoring for quite a while. And so here, first of all, I was amazed that the media would allow at least the least amount of morality, but. And it reminded me of this woman because she was a tall, shapely blonde. And it reminded me of how many of them used to come down from the west side that worked in those strip houses to the abortion mills when I would be preaching down there. And one particular day, here comes this blonde in, a very whorish woman, and she had these three dummies with her, these three guys. And as I was preaching, they told me, I inquired them, who is the father? And they said, well, we don't know who the father is. That's why we're all going to pay a part, these three guys, because we don't know which one of us is the father. I says, come over here, boys. Let me explain something to you, okay? And so they came over, and I said, do you know how dumb this is? I said, look, chances are that none of you are the father of the baby that she's going to kill. But if you three put your money in, if you all pay a part of this, you're all going to be blood guilty of the killing of that baby. You'll all be a part of that. And the one says, hey, you know what? He's got a point there. That's right. We don't know if it's ours. We don't know because it could have been anyone. Yeah, and if we do pay, aren't we guilty? Man, thanks, man. Thanks for telling us that. And so they went in and they told her they weren't going to pay for it because the preacher fell outside and told them, well, this whore come running out that door and she was saying some things that were not very nice. And so now she didn't. And, of course, they like killing babies at that bloody preterm, but they want to get paid first. You know, that money thing is a big deal. And so here, the times, indeed, they have changed, but they haven't changed for the better, folks. Today, what would not have been tolerated when I was a young man back in the 50s, the things that are happening today would not have been tolerated. The stuff that the language that is spewed out like a hole in a sewage pipeline, language that would have put men back in, would have put men in jail back in those days. You know, remember, a lot of you folks don't understand, but they used to, for using profanity, they used to arrest you. we had a much higher standard, much more morality. The Democrats were nearly as corrupt and perverted and reprobate as they are today. And so here, language like, well, the simple-minded use without regard to who they offend. I remember, you know, today the F word is parroted. I mean, you know, in this film that we're going to show, there's one foul word in it, and I'm going to warn people and have them standing by to see if we can turn off the volume. But a dirty cop, a very, very corrupt cop, there in Washington, D.C., in the D.C. corrupt cops, he shouts out when he's up there lying, when he's out there telling his lies, he uses a foul word. He uses so, but here, when in January of 2017, when they had what they called the Women's March there, I was down there in D.C., and it was one of the most pathetic, unclean, filthy things that I've ever seen. It was right after we had our pro-life march, March for Life, when about 2 million people there. And we left D.C. clean, okay? We didn't leave a mess, the pro-lifers, no. But that changed dramatically. And what happened, here you had these Muslim women, anti-Trumpers, anti-Trump out there, and they were, you know, dressed from head to toe, spewing their foul language. And right next to them, you had the Democratic women who were in 44-degree weather, topless. Many of them were topless there. And they, of course, were spewing their foul language. They were wearing pussy caps. They had caps on there with that word on it. And then they had these women dressed in giant vagina costumes. I mean, this was pathetic. But the really bad part was these unclean, filthy women who should have been arrested and jailed for indecency had children, 9 and 10-year-old boys and girls, and they were carrying placards with the F word on it, F-U Trump, written on it. And they had these children shouting that out, and these unclean, filthy women should have been arrested and jailed. But no, they weren't, because they represented the reprobate mindset of the Washington, D.C. establishment, the totally reprobate, unclean mindset, corrupt mindset. And if you say, well, Pastor, you sound angry. I am angry. I watched that film tonight, the one that we're going to be showing, and you see just how corrupt and just how they lied, okay? And, of course, I mean, I knew that, but, you know, to sit there and watch it. Now, parents today are subject to harassment or even arrest for refusing to accept pornography in the school curriculum. And we talked about that in Virginia. The parents managed to get some of the pornography out, but they turned around and they put it right back in. You know, and up until about 1973, folks, a lot of you don't even remember this probably, but up until 1973, killing a baby by abortion was considered a crime, a capital crime, folks, punishable by prison or death. And in some countries today, it is still punishable by death. Abortion is murder. Listen, anyone and everyone that says abortion is not murder is a lying. They're a liar. And there is not a bit of truth in them. Not a bit of truth in them. And so, see, God decides what murder is. Not some corrupt prostitute in a black robe. God decides that. And so here, I want to go over... But what has changed, okay? What has changed? Well, I can tell you what has not changed, and that's God. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 6. And in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. Now here, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessings I will have blessed thee, and I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You see, Abraham waited for 25 years from the time that God promised him a son until Isaac's birth. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled from refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us or entered. Even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, God, who cannot lie, who cannot change, he's immutable, has done, is doing, and will continue doing exactly what he has told us that in his word. That is, one, he gives us eternal life to those that put their trust in him, and those that refuse to trust and refuse to obey will spend eternity in torment. Well, it doesn't matter if you decide to believe this or not. It's going to happen, see? It's what God says that matters. It's what God says. To those that are lost, God is dead. And it's impossible to do what God has said. If you talk to these people, they'll tell you, well, there is no God or God is dead. Remember what Nietzsche said? He said, my brother, and he said how that God that has for so long tormented you is dead now. No, God's alive and well. Nietzsche's dead, and Nietzsche's in torment. He died in torment. I want to go over to Hebrews chapter 7, verses 20 through 28. And as much as without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continued forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the utmost that come unto God by him, seeing that ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such as a high priest became us, who is a holy and harmless and undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Well, we have the ability, through Christ, to go directly to God with our petitions, because he lives forever to make intercession for us. I remember some years ago, there was a Pentecostal preacher, and he was preaching, and he was saying, well, that Jesus' work is finished. He's He's no longer doing anything. He's sitting right, you know, waiting for the day to return. And if that were true, we'd all be in big trouble because he's constantly interceding for us, between us and the Father. And so here, what Christ did, actually, he brought the sacrificial system to an end. In other words, the point was made that God was not pleased with the sacrifices of animals. And so when the Lord Jesus, when he gave himself as a living sacrifice, by the way, folks, a lot of times you'll hear people say that, well, you can lose your salvation. And I've heard people tell me, well, I lost my salvation, but then I got it back. No, if you're saved, you can't lose your salvation because you don't keep your salvation. God's word, the Bible, makes it very clear. Your salvation is kept in heaven and is sealed with the Holy Spirit, and Christ himself is the sealer. So there is, God would never allow sinful people to be in charge of keeping their own salvation, because if we could lose it, we would lose it. All it would take is a sin. And the most precious quantity that ever existed was the blood of Christ. And he's not going to waste that on feeble-minded people who, with sin natures, who would go out and sin. And so, and Christ is never going to go back up on that cross again. So here, there's very little in this world, that we can put our absolute trust. God's word is the only thing that we can, that cannot fail us. Without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there is no way that one can fully comprehend or even begin to believe or understand the unchangeable truth found only in the word of God. I want to go over to Hebrews chapter 1. And in Hebrews chapter 1, here, now, as we read this, we're going to find that what is not understood by the world is that God is still speaking to us today through his word. But very, very few people ever have, well, I hate to say it, but have the intelligence to pick it up and read it, folks. It's the greatest source of wisdom and information in existence, and is the only irrefutable information. This Bible is the most authoritative document that ever existed. It's the Word of God. And so here, God's still speaking to us today through his word. Everything today is exactly the way that God said it would be. Exactly. Exactly. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels, said he at any time, thou art my son, and this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he said, who maketh the angel spirits and ministers of a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, O thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness and a scepter of the kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity before God, even thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, he, in the past, God has spoke to us through visions, through dreams, through prophets, through psalms, through proverbs, through angels, and even through animals, okay? here. But today, God speaks to us through his word, right here. Now, the politically correct PC movement and the woke joke movement, the cancel culture, the climate change wackos, the critical race theory wackos, and all the ridiculous rest will soon pass away. It won't be too long. It won't be many years. If the Lord should tarry, that most all of that ridiculousness will be gone and it'll be forgotten, should the Lord tarry. With God's word, and those of us that believe in it, we will last forever. We have God's word on it. And so, here as we continue, and thou, O Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands, and they shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as thou doth the garment, and a vesture shall thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and the years shall not fail. In other words, only God is completely eternal. Now, we will be, once we receive our glorified body and are taken with him to glory, then we become immortal. Okay, but even the earth itself is going to be totally, radically changed. It's not going to remain the way it is. But which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Now, here's something that a lot of people misunderstand. And are not all thy ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, time and time again, I've heard these women, especially, but men too, talking about their guardian angels, how they're guardian angels. And I'm talking about people that are saved. Well, here, those angels are assigned unto us until we receive salvation. Once we receive our salvation, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so, even though angels do constantly intercede on our behalf, that angel here, the ones that we talk about, our guardian angel, well, once we're saved, we don't have a guardian angel. A lot of people don't realize that. Like I said, we do have angels interceding. Now, why is that? Well, what is more powerful, the angels or the Holy Spirit? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. Where do the angels get their power? From the Holy Spirit, okay? And so when you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you don't need the protection of a guardian angel. The guardian angel were there to keep you until the time you receive your salvation. I'll read that again. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, here, these words, they're not just words written in another book by some man. The very first person of the Godhead here, that's the Father, is speaking to the second person of the Godhead, that's the Son, and he's referring to him as God, thy throne, O God. So God the Father is referring to the Lord Jesus as God the Son. Twice he does it here. So for those that don't believe in the deity of Christ, boy, that kind of takes it away from you here. And of course, over in many, many places in Scripture, Colossians and John, and does it make very clear his deity. But now, here is something that we're always talking about. And that is a clear warning about making your salvation sure. Making your salvation sure. The most important thing to you. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect to the greatest salvation which the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing with them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. And folks, it is very, very important that you make your salvation sure. That you make, see, if you are truly saved out there, a lot of people say, yeah, I got saved, but there was no change in them. If you become truly saved, you become a new creature. And if there's no evidence of that, then there's no evidence of salvation. And you need to be very, very concerned about that. Now, I want to go over to James chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, verse 17, here we read this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from God above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he, with the words of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, there are no imperfections with God. Every perfect gift is from above. For example, what is a perfect gift? Well, right here in my hand is God's word. This is a perfect gift. Okay, your salvation, your eternal life, that's a perfect gift that God has given you. Now, here, when he talks about this Father of lights with whom there's no variable, neither shadow of turning. Have you ever noticed something? I noticed something some years ago when I was painting my very first place to live, an apartment in an old house. We got it moved in and it needed painting. It really needed painting. So we were in there painting and we had a lamp and we took the shade off the lamp and set it in the middle of the room where, now if you look at this lamp, if you look at that light bulb in the lamp, when it's turned off, I mean, you look it over and it looks like there's no variableness at all. And it looks like it's the same all the way around. You don't see any imperfections. But once you plug that lamp in and you look upon the wall, you see these dark spots on that coming from that bulb. And if you turn the lamp around, you twist it, you can see all of the imperfections in that lamp. But here with God, there is no imperfections. There is no imperfections at all. It's absolute perfect. God is the standard for perfection. And then I want to go to and finish here tonight over in one of my favorite passages of Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And that time is here today, folks. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure the afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also, that love is appearing. Well, here is where God is still speaking to us, folks. Here, this charge that we're talking about that he gave to Timothy, that was 2,000 years ago, and that applies to you and I today. It tells us exactly the way things would be here in his word, for the time has come where the world does not endure sound doctrine, but follows after evil men, well, like the mad Dr. Fauci or Gates, or the Church of Laodicea. That means the Prosperity Church. Folks like Joel Osteen. And so We must continue to witness. We must continue to warn the heathen to repent and to warn about the Antichrist globalist culture of death. We must continue to fight against abortion, sodomy, the poisonous poke, the critical race theory, the fake news media, burn, loot, and murder, Antifa, the New World Order. And if we do, we will hear those words, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them that love is appearing." And so, but going back to what he's saying, and so you say, well, Pastor, why are why aren't you nicety-nicety? Why are you to the wicked? How come you're so mean to the wicked? Listen, if I was mean to them, I would let them continue. I'm telling them the truth. The Bible says, repent or perish. Repent or perish. These are wicked people. Fauci's a very wicked people. Biden, these are very, very, very wicked people. Whatever God's word, the Bible calls a sin, they embrace it. They love it. Fauci and Gates feel that they're like gods. They want to actually depopulate our planet. They're killing people off, and they think it's funny. Well, they're going to find out that they're going to stand before Almighty God. That will happen. Well, what we just said here in the prior, the last thing, was to make your salvation sure. Folks, if you have made a profession of faith, and there's been no change in you, you better go do it again. You need to get on your knees and pray and ask God to show you the way to get saved. He does that right in his word. And if, in fact, you're saved, you're going to have a desire to serve God. Now, I'm not telling you you're going to be perfect, and I'm not telling you by any means you're not going to fall now and then. But if you are saved, there will be a burning desire for you to serve God. And it's just like if you throw a bird up in the air, that bird will fly. That's what birds do. If you put a real fish in water, if it's a real fish, it'll swim. That's what fish do. Real Christians serve God. And so tonight I suggest that you go to the Gospel of John chapter 3, read it, pray first, read it, and do it. You must be born again. Jesus said that in order to enter into the kingdom. So don't run out of tomorrows tonight. We're almost out of time for tonight. And so how much time do I have tonight?
A minute.
All righty. Well, there you go. I'm down to about 50 seconds in tonight's radio program. And we've got a very interesting year ahead of us. Oh, by the way, for you folks out in Northeast Ohio, Jug County Tea Party is having its meeting on Tuesday night at 6:30 at the Metzenbaum Center in Chesterland, Ohio. And the fellow we had here on the radio program the other day, he's running for governor. Joe Blystone is going to be our speaker. So if you can come on out, I would come out because, folks, we're in a war, and everybody needs to step up to the plate and do their job. Well, we're at that time that we get to every night at this time. We're out of time. So, again, until tomorrow, I want to say good night. God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the voice of the Christian resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.